Jerry Bader Show 936. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I talked about something on the air. I think it was yesterday. Didn't we take this up yesterday? I've talked about it a couple of times. Well, yeah, we did. We took it up yesterday because we had Senator Ron Johnson on, and then I reiterated my belief that you can point. This did involve even phone calls. I reiterated my point that Wisconsin is an example that Republicans can compromise and still be trusted, with power when the opportunity arises. In 2007, he's now administration secretary, Mike Hipsch. He was assembly speaker, Mike Hipsch. He was on this show a lot because during that budget process, when Jim Doyle and the Senate Democrats were raising taxes, conservatives calling this show felt they were giving up too much. Hipsch came on the show several times. Elections matter. Elections matter. All I have is the assembly, Jerry. I remember him saying it several times. All I have is the assembly. There is just so much we can do. They've got the Senate. They've got Jim Doyle. There's not a hell of a lot we can do. And the belief at the time is, well, if they don't just stand on principle, and this was exactly what you heard back then, is what you're hearing from conservatives on the federal debate now. Well, how can we trust them? Well, voters did trust them in 2010. Now, I understand the driving force behind what has happened in Wisconsin since then is Governor Scott Walker. I do get that. But the point is, with the right leader, it can happen. I'm going to try to revisit this later in the show. I bring it up now because I actually wrote a piece on Right Wisconsin on this that's getting a lot of reads, it appears. And it is subscription. If you're not a subscriber, it is subscription. But it's called Wisconsin Conservatives Understand Elections Matter. And if you have the opportunity, check it out. All right. I don't have anything specific to ask you about this, but I know some listeners feel strongly about this. So if you want to weigh in, 406-1360, 888-455-1360, talking about the ruling yesterday concerning the NSA's metadata collection of phone records. As you may know, if you're a regular listener to the show, I have been extremely conflicted on this issue because I think there is national security value in this, but like many of you, I don't trust the government with this stuff. To me, it is a conundrum. A federal judge ruled that the NSA's collection of phone records, and this is an interesting qualification by a judge, almost certainly, violates the Constitution, setting up a larger legal battle over long secret counterterrorism programs. U.S. District Judge Richard Leon's sharply worded opinion, labeled as almost Orwellian, the NSA's bulk phone surveillance program, one of several shots the judge took at the spying and its legal justifications. The ruling in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. will have little immediate legal effect because he stayed the opinion pending an absolutely certain government appeal. But as the Wall Street Journal writes, it likely propels the matter to higher courts and should give new momentum to efforts in Congress to rein in such surveillance. Bulk collection of phone records was first authorized by the Patriot Act and then was placed under the supervision of a secret foreign intelligence court in 2006. Jim Sensenbrenner, Republican from Wisconsin, applauded this ruling. Judge Leon's decision further highlights the need to pass the USA Freedom Act. The slow trickle of revelations that began in June about NSA spying have exposed the most intrusive and secretive programs in American history. From the onset, I have been extremely critical of the government's dragnet collection of Americans' data. I'm encouraged by the district court's ruling. It will add to the growing momentum behind the USA Freedom Act, which has garnered support from a large, diverse block of my colleagues and the business community. The executive branch should join Congress to institute meaningful reform. Well, the executive branch is in the midst of meaningful reform of this type of surveillance. And the Wall Street Journal has a piece on this, and I want to share it with you. Obama's NSA review panel has some dangerous proposals. Gentlemen do not read each other's mail. That was Secretary of State Henry Stimson's immortal logic for closing the Cipher Bureau in 1929 and depriving the U.S. of the capacity to read foreign diplomatic cables as worldwide threats grew. The danger now is that President Obama, Congress, or both will shift to a comparably blinkered strategy in anti-terror surveillance, and for no better reason than Stimson's. Amid the deluge of Edward Snowden's intelligence disclosures, Mr. Obama appointed a five-member panel to review the NSA's methods and the balance between security and privacy. The panel recently sent a draft report to the White House, and a version is expected to be made public next month. But the word on Capitol Hill is that the scope and radicalism of the recommendation stunned even this White House, not least because the task force was stacked with Obama loyalists. If the details are anything like the leaks, then the panel is advising the government to seriously degrade U.S. counterterror defenses and shut down several valuable surveillance assets in a dangerous world. Here they go. Bulk metadata collection. One of the worst proposals would effectively cripple the NSA's ability to collect, store, and analyze telephony records, or the time, duration, and originating and terminating numbers for phone calls. This program was authorized by the Patriot Act and collects a vast amount of information, even if the database is only searched narrowly on the basis of specific facts as approved by judges on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, or FISC. The minimization procedures are strict enough that the NSA only used the 215 program to make 300 queries in 2012. The panel would prohibit the NSA from collecting metadata and instead require telecom providers to retain their own records for the phone calls placed on their networks. The NSA would need to make Section 215 requests individually to each carrier. The problem is that metadata is only useful if it is pooled, formatted, and organized so it can be searched quickly and accurately. Intelligence is not an on-demand technology, but an ongoing, painstaking process in preparation for questions that no one can know until U.S. spooks need immediate answers. And say the CIA station chief in Yemen acquires a phone number and wants to know who the target was calling in the U.S. The FISC would still likely approve the query, but instead of keeping the data in one place under a collection first policy, the NSA would need to turn to the telecom companies one by one, including foreign companies that operate inside the U.S. The NSA would then need to aggregate the links to the original number from scratch, potentially missing the hops when a person of interest receiving a call dials someone else. This is a great way to overlook a terror cell inside the U.S. Any potential risks to privacy are the same, so there's no extra protection against abuse. Personal information may be even less secure if not housed at the data farms NSA built specifically for that purpose. The delays and international inefficiencies, however, will make metadata far less effective in practice. Next, foreign-to-foreign intercepts. The panel attempts to quell the European uproar over purely foreign surveillance by the U.S. by suggesting some kind of agreed-upon code of conduct among allied intelligence agencies. The target here is the president's core constitutional power for warrantless overseas wiretapping, also authorized by FISA. Put aside the hypocrisy of the foreign leaders who have looser limits on domestic surveillance than the U.S., complaining about spying when they also spy on the U.S., the U.S. has good reasons to surveil even close allies whose interests are never perfectly in sync with ours. The European Union is now threatening to blow up the SWIFT anti-terror finance program. Well, the 9/11 plot was hatched in Hamburg. Any kind of agreement on universal sharing or international information norms that are meant to exempt countries from U.S. surveillance and scale back overseas collection makes the NSA more dependent on its European counterparts. Their mistake becomes our dirty bomb explosion. Let me say that again. Their mistake becomes our dirty bomb explosion. Any binding enforcement mechanism short of a treaty approved by the Senate is unconstitutional, and in any case, subjecting U.S. spycraft to foreign approval is preposterous for a nation serious about defending itself. Next, a more adversarial FISC process. The FISC judges are not now operating as a judiciary, but instead fill a quasi-legal management role over NSA. This dilutes accountability for the political branches, but the Obama panel wants to go further and appoint a public advocate whose job is to argue against the NSA, as in a public lawsuit. The roving ACLU Corps would second-guess the agency and presumably urge the judges to reject or limit NSA requests. But as we have learned from the Snowden dossier and the documents the NSA has declassified in response, the FISC already sees its role as less as a neutral arbiter and more as an opponent of the government. The court is now disclosing how many times it forces the NSA to charge its orders or procedures, as if that reveals anything of substance. Introducing another layer of opposition inevitably means fewer approvals and even less accountability. Speaking of which, the director of the National Intelligence Post, currently filled by James Clapper, was designed post-9/11 to integrate the intelligence silos and focus national security responsibilities in the White House. He is a presidential appointee, but now a senior administration official tells the New York Times, without attribution, that the panel report means we're not leaving it to Jim Clapper anymore. If so, Mr. Clapper should be fired for not being up to the job. Mr. Obama seems to view the NSA as some independent operation running on autopilot, but the programs that keep the country safe are his responsibility. In that sense, his panel choices were a fiasco waiting to happen. Task Force member Cass Sunstein is a noted economist, but the Harvard prof is hardly an expert in technology or intelligence law. University of Chicago lawyer, law professor Jeffrey Stone was a prominent critic of anti-terror surveillance during the George W. Bush years. The report lands at a bad political moment, with Tea Party Republicans and anti-terror Democrats smelling opportunity and sociopaths with stolen documents campaigning to harm U.S. national security. Federal Judge Richard Leon ruled Monday that phone metadata collection is unconstitutional, part of a larger post-Snowden legal assault. Now, Mr. Obama's own commission wants to introduce more obstacles to the surveillance that is America's main remaining advantage over terror networks. If Mr. Obama won't toss the report, grown-ups in Congress should do it for him. The Wall Street argument's long argument, and that was a long piece, is this stuff does work. Judge Leon said the government hadn't demonstrated one case of an imminent terror threat being thwarted, imminent being the operative word there. I distrust the government with this stuff as much as anyone. I am desperately concerned we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Mike in Seymour. Mike, hi, you're on the Jerry A. Bader Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I had a question. Why do they have to watch everyone when they know it's a select group? I mean, foreign leaders, I mean, every American citizen, they know who the enemies are. Why don't they watch them?
Here's the response to that. They don't know who the enemies is, and they're in it. I'm just telling you what their defense is here. They're not watching everyone. By harvesting this metadata, they can spot trends, they can spot calls, and then when they look at that entire mosaic, they go to the governing body and say, we want to look further into this. And according to that minimization procedure, as the Wall Street Journal called it, the NSA you only used the program to make 300 queries in 2012.
Now, do you believe that? I mean, to me, I've heard stories that President Obama has his own database that he stored information in
okay.
for political reasons. People are getting all this information.
I know that's out there. Mike, I know that's out there. And as you said, there's stories. And again, I'm not saying I blindly trust the government. On the other hand, shutting down the entire metadata program, I think, would make us much, 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 much less safe. 406-1360, 888-455-1360, it's 951.
Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.